First John 2. So 15, verses 15 through 17, and you've heard this verse probably 100 million times. So here's kind of what got me here. I was praying about what to talk about, and there's just been so much come up since I taught last a few months ago, and so many social issues and issues in the news, and it's just been a really, really crazy time in the world between the homosexuality, gay marriage thing, and between, there's the transgender guys winning courageous awards, and you have, just so much weird turning point kind of things going on right now in the world. And I've just had a lot of time these last few months to think through, not if those things are right or wrong, obviously. We all can probably agree on that, but it's just more of a, what's our reaction, and what do I do, how do we respond, is this to be expected, and just that's left me with a lot of questions and a lot of praying and a lot of thinking. And so I have one goal this morning. This is going to be simple, and it's just going to be to just define what our relationship with the world should look like, just a reminder, and just to think through, what we can, as Christians, pull out of what's really happening. So I just start out with this simple thing. It's in this verse I brought up, 1 John 2, verse 15, and it just starts with a command. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So, again, we're defining that he starts out just with a simple command-like deal. It is, and you got to take it just like that. It's just a command. It's not a thing to play around with. It's not anything else. Do not love the world, okay? Do not love the world. It's just so straightforward and simple. And then I love how he does it, just like the Bible usually does. He gives you the command, especially in the New Testament. But then if you just pay close attention to what follows, he's going to give you his top two or three or four reasons why you shouldn't love the world. And it's like he tells you not to do it, but then he convinces you why this is so important. So that's what I'm going to do. Reason one that he gives, he says, do not love the world or the things in the world, because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I think this is the most important one. If you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. And what that's really saying is you can't have both, okay? You can't love both. You have a heart, that's only so big and allowed so much love, and you can't do both. They're opposite to one another. We'll get to why in a second. But that's so important to me, and it should be to all of you, because I think that might be the biggest temptation. The biggest temptation doesn't come at you like, don't love God, love this instead. The temptation more is like, love God and love this, right? That's what comes at you. Satan puts that in a package, like, you can have both, just have both. And it says right here, you can't. What's actually going to happen, the more you eat the world, you're going to weed out God. I mean, your heart can't handle both. And it's the opposite is actually really true, too. You want to know how to get the world out of your life and your love for the world? Love God. The more you love God, you're going to push out the world. But know that. That's got to be fully ingrained in your mind, or, temptation will just eat your lunch. You can't have both. If we keep reading, this is the famous verse. 16 says, for all that is in the world, and then we know these, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Okay, that's, if we take out that middle part, it just pretty much says, for all that is in the world is not from the Father, it's from the world. I mean, that's why you can't have both, because not everything here is from God. And so you can't have both. I mean, these things are from God. These things are from the world. God, hates these things, and the world hates God. It's impossible to do. And so he just convinces us with that again with this verse. As far as, I don't want to spend a lot of time, you can find hundreds and hundreds of sermons on the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. I mean, I've heard that talked about a million times, and there's a lot to be said about that, and more than I have time for this morning. But I will say this, if we could probably break this down into two categories. What did I write? Pride. The pride of life is like, it's a love, okay, because he's breaking these things down as a love for the world, you know. So what pride of life is a love for what you have, okay? It's a love for the things you already have or what you've gained or maybe what you think you have, okay? Something you already own, okay? That's pride of life. And then the other two, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, that's a love for something you don't have, okay? So he's breaking it down into two categories to me, okay? A love for what you already have gained and what you already have, and a love for what you don't have yet, or maybe you think you can have, but just a passion for gaining something. But the evil form of loving the world, and not all forms of loving the world is evil, because John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his son. You know, there's, you can love the world, but loving the evil, what the world has to offer, is just as simple as that. And it, maybe that would help you to break down, how am I loving the world? Do I love the things I already have? Do I love things that I don't have? And that's what lust is, loving something you don't already have. And lastly, okay, so he, I'm just adding that in to help define. And then 17, he gives us two more reasons. Here's why you cannot love the world. First reason, 17 says, and the world is passing away along with its desires. Okay, stop there. Why should you not love the world? Because the world is passing away. I mean, that's so simple, you know. Would any of you sell everything you have and buy something that's going to be worth nothing tomorrow? I mean, if you could see it that way, you know. Maybe if you could think of it like a stock, or maybe you could think of it like a car, you know, or you throw everything you have to buy something, and you know what the end game is going to be with it. You know that tomorrow it'll be worth nothing. You know that it'll have no value tomorrow. So why can I not love the world? It's because I know the direction the world's heading, and I know the value of the world, and the value of the world tomorrow is nothing. I mean, that's, each one of these reasons is enough in itself. If we could just get our minds straight for, you know, just a second, man, this is really right. I think we all know this. But yeah, the value of the world is for sure going down. And if you attach your heart and your love to something that's end is destruction, what's that going to leave your heart with? It's going to leave it empty, and it's going to leave it in heartbreak, and it's going to leave it miserable. And sadly, you see people make this decision all the time on smaller level, you know? I mean, from the person who gets in a relationship that knows it's going nowhere, you know, but they do anyway for today, you know, and then they end in heartbreak, and to bigger scale things. But man, if we could just have some wisdom, you know, and from God that's right here, and if we could just agree with it and say, you know what, the Bible's right. This is going to end in heartbreak, no matter how I look at it. And lastly, he throws in probably the best one, and he says, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Okay? So whoever does the will of God abides forever. And then he goes on to say several times that if you love God, you'll do his will, you obey his commands. And so if you're loving God, if you're choosing to love God, you will abide forever. I wish we could look long term more often than we do. I mean, one path again leads to heartbreak, misery, destruction, hell. One path leads to, you know, peace and you know, ultimately abiding forever. But your eternity, you're choosing eternity, you know, you're making eternal decisions every day, which is crazy. You know, your little decisions have eternal consequences all the time. So back to kind of the, that's just a quick run through of a verse, like I said, you guys have heard a million times. But back to some of these social, worldly, what's going on in the world kind of issues. Thinking through, and you can almost get overwhelmed and discouraged with everything going on in the world. I can, you probably can too. You know, is the end near, you know, maybe, and is what, you know, what in the world's going on? How could people think like this? How could people argue these sides? And you see Christians following this, you know, at least I do. I see my Christian friends going the way of the world, and it's just so heartbreaking. And there's probably more things, but the one thing that I really drew from this that maybe gave me just a glimpse of encouragement is this. It's that, you know what's happening right now? My generation, and maybe your generation, has almost been defined like as a generation that has had both, you know? That's how my generation, I think, thinks. Everyone I've grown up with thinks that way, you know? You got a million people who are believers, but as worldly as can be. And it's just, and I'm going to be so tempted to be that same way. And, you know, as things are getting worse, as more, you know, issues are going towards the way of the world and people are getting stronger and voicing that opinion and condemning Christians more, and Christians are having, you know, less and less rights, it almost seems like. You know what's happening? The cross is dividing. Right? I mean, that's one good thing to take out of this. You actually have to make a choice now, you know? And you're starting to. And I imagine 5 years from now, it's going to be a lot more clearly defined, you know? But really, I mean, you can't sit in the middle so much anymore because the sides are getting so more harsh, you know, towards the other. And people are having to make a choice. And, the gray lines are getting out of there. It's more of a black and white thing. And that's, despite the world going the way it's going, that's almost a good thing, you know. And it's exactly what should happen. The cross is meant to divide. It really is. Jesus taught about it. You know, the cross should divide you from people you love most. That's just how it is. It's because Jesus is worth so much more. And so you got every one of us now, and especially in the future, and your kids and grandkids are going to have to count the cost so much more. And, you know, and they're going to be so much more sure, you know, that Jesus is the way they want to follow, you know, the one they want to follow, because it's going to be such a more big decision. You can't just slide into Christianity now because the world's starting to hate Christianity. So I'm just throwing that out there just to give you guys some things to think about as we think about our relationship with the world. You should be divided from the world. Things are actually becoming as it should be in a way. What I want to tie this into, as I have 10 minutes left, might be right on time. I wanted to get more specific about this because this is just kind of a vague, the world kind of thing. But as I get more specific about this, I was thinking through, and I know my generation, as we talk about our generations, I think in our battle of loving the world, my generation, and you guys tell me if I'm right on this or not, but I think that maybe the number one thing that we've struggled with in our love for the world is what other people think about us, what the world thinks about us. You know, it's not so much being so tempted with what they're doing all the time and what we know enough to know that's right and wrong, but it's more, what do they think about me? What will they think if I stand up for this? What will I think if I tell them about Jesus? What will they think if I tell them Jesus thinks this is sin? You know, That's my biggest battle, I think, you know, and it might be yours too, but I definitely know the people I'm around, that's their biggest hang-up. That's what keeps them from sharing the gospel. That's what keeps them from calling out, you know, their brothers in sin. That's what, you know, it's just so hindering and limiting in our walk, and it shouldn't be. And so if I'm thinking through these things from this perspective of how we should see the world, what we're battling with, if we do this whole pride of life and lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh thing, it, for one, we're finding our identity in this what I'd call the pride of what people already think about us. Okay, so we've gotten so used to living in the thoughts of other men, right? That we've developed a pride, you know, a sense of comfort and a sense of confidence from what other people have already said about us. And we're so scared to lose that, you know, to give up that pride that we've already hung on to, that we can't speak out and call anyone out because we're not just calling them out. We're giving up our pride of life. I mean, we're giving up how they think about us already. They already think I'm cool. They already think I'm, you know, an awesome person. I have to give that up, you know, to do what God's calling me to do and to truly love God more than the world. But you see how that's forming in my heart? My love for the world looks like me caring what you think about me, you know, more than I love God. That's how my choice looks like. And so I'm sitting here again with, I can't sit in the gray anymore. I got to make this decision. I love God. I've got to love God more than I love what people think about me. And the other side is the lust side, where you're like, you know, maybe you're more, you know, insecure, and I can be on this side too, but you're lusting after getting their approval, getting the approval of man. Maybe you haven't, you know, and maybe you're just so scared to witness to this person because you're still trying to gain their, you know, them, the comforting feeling of them liking you or something. But this pride and lust thing is just overall is loving the world, you know. And so you've got to see it that way. Every time you're hindered by what other people think about you, you're loving the world. That's what it is. And take another step back and say, I only have two choices, love the world or love God. I can't have both. And if you see it that way, it's not just being insecure anymore. You know, it's not just, it's like, I'm loving the wrong thing here. So let me give you a couple verses to help make this point. And I'll just turn there. John 5 is one of them. And I just love what Jesus did with some of these things. Just to hammer home what I'm trying to say. John 5, verses 42 through 44. And I love it because he keeps it in the same context of loving God. Fits right in. John 5, 42 says, "But I know that you do not have love of God. You do not have the love of God within you. I know that you don't love God." 43 says, "I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him." 44 is my point. "How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" Okay? He says it as a question, but what he's saying is it's impossible for you to believe. He's like, I already know you don't love God because you don't believe, and because it's impossible for you to believe because you're too worried about finding glory from people. You're too worried about finding glory from one another. It's impossible for you to care about the glory of God. It's just the same thing. You can't have both, and I just want to reemphasize with that verse how imperative it is that you not, you know, fall for the trap of loving what people think. It'll kill your love for God. Turn your page back, one page probably, and go to John 3. And this, you know what's wrong with finding yourself, you know, finding your identity in the glory of man? John 3, 19 is where I want to go. 19 and 20, I think. Here's what's wrong with this whole thing, if we could see it in this perspective. John 3:19 says, "And this is the judgment. The light, Jesus, has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light." Okay, that's exactly what's happening right now. People, we think this, like, how can people think these things and love these things and make these choices? Here it is. "People love the darkness rather than the light because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light because he doesn't want his own works to be exposed. But everyone who does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." But do you see what, I mean, do you see, I mean, you know, I, we all know, but do you see why this is such a big deal? We're so trapped in this thing where we're finding identity in people who have already made their choice. You know, they've already chosen darkness over God, and the reason they're choosing darkness is because they don't want their own sins to be exposed. I mean, we're dealing with corrupted minds, and so it's just amazing, you know, that it just amazed me as I was writing out this lesson. It's like, because just confessing, I struggle with this probably more than anyone here. You know, I can really, really struggle with this, and I'm sitting here thinking, I you know, this is such a battle for me, and of taking pride and lusting after other people's thoughts and wanting them to think good of me. And these same people, you know, are the people who are corrupted, you know, and their hearts are darkened. And I already know their end is hell, you know. Right now, their end is hell. They're destined that way. And it's just such an incredible thing that I am fine. That's where I want to source my thoughts from, you know. That's where I want to source how I feel about myself from pure corruption, evil, you know, and people who are going nowhere, you know, right now. And so can you just imagine, as we finish up here, can you imagine the church with this thing pulled out of it? I mean, where would we be in advancing the gospel and caring about the kingdom and share, you know, and calling out sin? And where would, you know, all these issues we're talking about, where would they be if we took out this huge chunk of I care more about what people think, right? I mean, I don't think we'd be here where we're at now in America. I don't think, you know, I think a lot, I mean, man, it'd be crazy to actually know, but so many more people would know Jesus. There'd be so much less sin. People would be called out for what they're doing. You know, there'd just be, I would be called out for what I'm doing. It's just amazing how this would look. So I'll end with this. You know, I go through cold seasons with the Lord. You guys probably go through cold seasons with the Lord. Sometimes I really think the Lord just can, I really think this. Every once in a while, I think maybe the Lord will maybe pull back some emotions, maybe, you know, and just give you a chance to really walk in raw faith, I think. I think, you know, sometimes they're just a trial kind of season. Sometimes it's because, you know, you're in sin, and there's a lot of reasons for if your heart's gotten cold with the Lord. But if the reason is that there's a good chance, because of these verses, that if your love is getting cold, it's because you're loving the world, and it's pushing out your love for God. That's a big deal. You know, that's a lot different than just having a trial season. And so I just want you to think through. I mean, it's one of the first effects of loving the world is just having your heart towards God, you know, hardened and darkened and growing cold. So I want you to think through that. And, you know, it's funny, just kind of worked out this way. I don't know where Tyler's at. Me and Tyler were just kind of reminiscing, thinking about, we had a buddy who hung out with us about 10 years ago and kind of, I mean, he's just completely gone off the deep end, and even more so now, and it's just been such a gradual, every year, we've watched him get worse, and we were talking this morning, just he's completely gone, and it's amazing, because Tyler pointed out to me, he's like, you know why that happened? He chased after a worldly passion. That's what he says he's a believer, he has started out following the Lord, you know, but he chased after a really worldly passion, and then because of that, he took a really worldly job, and because of that, he started chasing more worldly things, and it's crazy to see that 10-year effect on him. You know, he never would have guessed that 10 years ago, but you see it in the long term, and sure enough, yeah, year after year, more world, you know, loving himself more, loving, you know, lusting after more things, taking more pride in things. And his love for God has completely gone cold. I mean, we just watched it happen. And yeah, it's the Lord just brought it to our attention this morning, oddly enough. And so just think through. You can't play around with this. That's the end every time. And just leave you with that. Just that, you know, God, give us a desire to love you. Waking up our cold, unloving hearts, waking up our hearts where we have just turned to the world and that we've lusted and found pride in what the world's had to offer. I pray, Lord, that you'd set us free from finding glory in man. I pray that you would remove that hindrance from your church. And I just ask you this morning, Father, that we would love you by obeying your commandments and that we wouldn't be choosing both, Lord. Just thank you for waking us up this morning and just let us glorify you with a pure heart. In Jesus' name, amen.